My name is Peter Bradshaw. These days I am the film critic for The Guardian newspaper in London, but in those days, in the halcyon year of 1987, I played very briefly the voice of the radio kind of contact on the episode Camp Dance, I think in series four of Hello, Hello. And I just had to say the phrase, the hallowed phrase, "Hello, hello, are you receiving me over?" in what I remember as a sort of French accent. Although now I come to think about it, I'm not quite sure why I had a French accent. Perhaps it would have been better if I had an English accent, because I think that the contact was supposed to be calling from London, come to think about it. But that is what I had to do. The way I got cast in Hello, Hello was a very, very random thing. It was completely random. What happened was I was a student. I was in my 20s. In fact, I was a postgraduate student reading English at Cambridge. And in the summer, a friend of mine had tipped me off that there was a way of making money as an extra, that is to say, a supporting artist in any number of film and TV, usually TV productions, for the BBC and for Anglia Television in East Anglia, in Cambridgeshire and Norwich and Norfolk. And one of these was for Hello, Hello, which was using, it was going to be, as memory serves, it was going to be in Thetford. Now, all Perry Croft fans know about the importance of Thetford in the Dad's Army show, in that that was the setting. The open field setting is the setting for the closing credits role in Dad's Army, where you see the guys in their camouflage fatigues with their rifles drawn, stumbling rather bewilderedly across a landscape with smoke being put down. Thetford was an open kind of countryside location, often used for film and television work in those days, and probably still is. And we were asked to be extras. We had signed on with this agency called the Jacqueline Model Agency, rather bizarrely, which specialized, according to its promotional literature, in providing supporting artists and promotional model girls to film and TV shoots. Anyway, me and my mate Nick Golson, we had signed on with these people, and they were always calling us up and saying, "Do you want to be an extra?" And we thought it was absolutely great, because the money we were paid was easy money. All we had to do was stand around. We got paid money for just doing that. We got sort of rather delicious kind of location catering. It was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, they said, "Do you want to be in an episode of Hello, Hello?" And my memory is that I actually had to dress up. It wasn't simply that I was a voice. Nick and I had to dress up in army costumes. And I was dressed as a German, a Wehrmacht soldier, with a kind of coal scuttle helmet and everything. And we had to sit around all day, as ever with film and television production. You know, it's what they call hurry up and wait. You get into your costume, you get into makeup, you stand around, and then nothing happens for hours and hours and hours. And then the assistant producer said, come on, you chaps, come on. We need the German soldiers in this shot. Come on. You know, so we were chivvied hither and yon. And we were sort of standing around and doing this and thinking, isn't this great? Isn't this fun? And then there was a kind of hiatus. And then a woman who I vaguely recognized, or at any rate recognized me, who was a production assistant on the shoot of Hello, Hello, said, "Wait, we need somebody to do this line. We need somebody to do the Hello, Hello line." And she recognized me, because she was a recent graduate of Homerton College, Cambridge. Now, I don't remember her name, I'm sorry to say. But she said to me, and I'm afraid my mate Nick might have been a little bit annoyed that she said it to me and not to him. But she said, "You know, do you want to do this line?" And of course I said, My goodness, of course I do. Apart from everything else, and I'm sorry to say, if you had a line, of course, you got paid more money. Quite aside, of course, from the very considerable honor and distinction of having a line in Hello, Hello, not just any line, but the line Hello, Hello itself. I mean, this was amazing. So I just said, and because I'd done a fair bit of student drama, I just said, yes, of course I can do it. Anything you like. Come on. Yes, I'm ready to go now. And she said to me, hang on, mate, hang on, just a cotton picking minute. You don't just get this. I have to audition you right now with Mr. Croft. And I until that moment, I didn't know that David Croft was actually on location with us. But I said, oh, yeah, okay. And I was terribly nervous suddenly. And she said, you know, you can't just waltz in and do an important line like this without Mr. Croft himself personally auditioning you. So I just thought, oh okay. So I was nervous. And she said, come with me, Peter, come with me. So I went with her, and there was this kind of caravan or trailer, said go in. So I went into this rather dark, my memory of it was a sort of caravan or trailer, and David Croft, the great man himself, was there. And I said, oh, hello, Mr. Croft, I'm Peter Bradshaw. And he said, yes, sit down. And I had the line in front of me in a script. And he said, well, go ahead, do the line. So I went, oh, hello, hello, are you receiving me over? Like that. And he sort of pondered it and said, okay, try it again, a little bit slower. So I went, oh, all right. Hello, hello, are you receiving me over? And he thought about it for all the world as if I was doing the to be or not to be speech. And he went, okay, try it again and hit the second hello a bit harder. So I went, hello, hello, are you receiving? And it went on like this. And eventually he went, all right, good, do it like that. So I'm thinking, you know, David Croft is not going to let any idiot off the street just do this. I mean, maybe it was a different line, but hello, hello, that's the brand identity of the whole show. So he's not going to do it. But anyway, that was my experience of working for David Croft. So I went into, a secure sound booth, audio booth, and did the line. And I was hugely pleased with myself for having had this connection with TV comedy history. And also, I have to say that from that day to this, and I mean literally to this day, I have been getting payments, residual payments, for simply doing that line. I know it's a vulgar thing to talk about money, but periodically, even right now, I will get a note from the BBC, literally an official note from the BBC's residuals department, saying that the fourth season of Hello, Hello has been sold to Bahrain, or has been sold to the UAE, or has been sold to Bulgaria, and I will receive the sum of £14.70 transferred directly to my bank account. And I mean, they're sort of tiny sums of money, of course, but it always makes me smile. It always makes me smile. And I like to think that, you know, this is still carrying on, that my kind of connection with Hello, Hello is still carrying on. No, I'm afraid I wasn't. I never appeared. I'm afraid I wasn't. I never got to appear in a Croft and Perry sitcom. I should say that I did appear in another sitcom entirely with the actor David Baddiel. Years later, I had a part in that in the year 2001. I was in the sitcom Baddiel Syndrome for Sky. That 20 years ago now. But what I should say is that I do have a tiny connection with David Croft and Jeremy Lloyd. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a connection, but years ago, again, this would have been just before I was a student, I had a kind of Christmas job in the sales at Simpsons of Piccadilly, which used to be a very grand and very posh and very snobby and stuffy department store in London's West End. And it was, I mean, even in those days, and this, we're talking about the early 80s, back in those days, it really did seem very old fashioned and very stuffy. In fact, the building is now the site of the flagship Waterstones bookshop in the West End in Piccadilly. But in those days, it was a huge old-fashioned department store of six floors, and I was in the menswear department on the third floor. Now, all fans of the show Are You Being Served, which was written by Jeremy Lloyd, of course, and David Roth, know that that is based on Jeremy Lloyd's experience of working in the menswear department of Simpsons of Piccadilly. And of course, when I did this, I knew everybody who worked there knew that they were working in, they were effectively working in Grace Brothers. They were working in a store which was the inspiration for Grace Brothers. Although Grace Brothers in the TV show is supposed to be more provincial and more remote. And Simpsons of Piccadilly prided itself on its metropolitan chic and being the very best of the best and the creme de la creme for frightfully posh people who would just stop in. But I will never forget, one day I was not working on menswear. And of course we stood around, all of us working in menswear. We all wore these very, I don't know what it was. We ended up wearing these sort of rather dull suits, rather dandruffy suits. We would stand around. And when there were no customers there, literally there were no customers, you still had to stand there. You couldn't just sit down. You had to stand there like a tailor's dummy. And you were, it was very much like Grace Brothers. But one day I had to work downstairs on the, I think the jewelry section or the sort of bric-a-brac section, whatever it was. And a lady who worked there walked past and she had sort of bright purple kind of dyed hair. And somebody said, there it is, that woman. She is the model for Mrs. Slocum in Are You Being Served? Now, I have no clue whether or not that's true, but I took it desperately seriously. And I thought, wow, again, I'm in the very center of Englishness because, I mean, Are You Being Served is not very woke these days. I mean, there is something a bit awful about it, I suppose, in some ways, but it is a real vision of Englishness and class and snobbery. The show Are You Being Served is a very, very good guide to class and snobbery in England. And I'll give you an example. I when I watched that show, we used to watch it with my mum and my dad and my sister. We would sit around and we would watch Are You Being Served? We thought that it was hilarious. And of course, we all got to know the cast of Mr. John Inman and Trevor Bannister and everybody. We all got to know them and we kind of identified with them, all the different types, and we kind of identified that they're kind of comedy heroes. And there was an episode in Are You Being Served where they accidentally, through a sort of weird quirk or mishap, find themselves in the boardroom. And they're sitting down around the boardroom, which is this place which isn't usually shown in the show. Of course, it's the shop floor, not the boardroom of Grace Brothers himself. And young Mr. Grace comes in and he's very sort of dithery and ancient and short-sighted. And he looks around and says, oh, good to see so many new faces on the board. And somebody, I think it's Nicholas Smith's character says, oh, Mr. Grace, this isn't the board. You know, how absurd of you to think that these people, these lower class idiots, are the board. And I think for the very first time in my life, I realized what class was like in this country, because I realized that I had been identifying with the cast and the stars of Are You Being Served. I had been identifying, I would thought, you know, maybe if I was to be transported into their fictional world, I could work there too, which indeed proved to be the case. And I thought, realized, yes, that there are people in this country who would look down on these people, that they were, of course, they're not the board. They are lower than, you know, they are of lower class. And I realized, golly, is that me? Am I lower class? All the people watching this show, are we all lower class? Is there an upper stratum of British society of which we are entirely unaware and of whose unspoken contempt for us we are also unaware? So I think Are You Being Served in those days was a great eye-opener for me about class structure and the awfulness, the shabbiness and the grimness of class division in this country. I have a very, very vague memory of watching exterior shots, exterior look, and then we're talking about exterior location shots. Shots that were took place in the studio, of course, we would not see. We're talking about the way in which BBC drama was conducted in those days. Of course, there would be exterior location shots, usually on film, had interior set taping, which was on video. And of course, all that we witnessed, of course, were the exterior location shots, which would be us in our costumes. And it would, I mean, I would have been presumably quite an expensive business, you know, a bit of an epic thing to have all over there. And there was about, you know, a good dozen of us, all of whom who had to be fitted for costumes, for German uniforms, costumes, and others who would have been French civilians and all the rest of it. It would have been quite a big deal, quite an expensive production. So we would have watched, that. But as I say, I didn't really get to see the actual episode. No, I mean, I can't even think I don't even know whether I ever even knew that it was being transmitted, whether I ever thought, oh, wow, this is my episode. Because in those days, you kind of didn't know. I mean, now, of course, you can find out anything immediately on the internet. You can call up anything on YouTube. You can find out exactly what's going on. Whereas in those days, we just had a great big, I remember in our student house, we just had a great big clunking old non-flat screen telly. And we had to just find out from the newspapers when these episodes were being transmitted. And if you missed them, you missed them. So I'm afraid I don't think I ever really did see the episode when it came out. I didn't really see it. Only person I met, and I'm proud to have met him, was David Croft himself. And I did meet him. And I can say that I auditioned one-on-one in a caravan. I had a sort of face-to-face meeting with one of the great figures in British comedy. So I'm very proud to have had that fleeting moment with David Croft. As to the rest of the cast, no, I'm very sorry to say I never met him. I have a collection, or rather an edited selection of my film reviews for The Guardian, published by Bloomsbury, entitled The Films That Made Me. So if you'd like to buy that, I would be very grateful. Thank you very much. No, I'm delighted to do it. Thank you for asking me.